Today is June 22nd, 2050, in Sasana era 2559. So Searo have been talking about the Dukkha Satya, the truth of suffering. So last time Searo expounded Jati and the first very beginning of the or a life. And then suffering related to that rebirth, and then old age, and then death. So today, Searo, we continue remaining kinds of the suffering, dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. So they include the sorrow, lamentation, mental and physical distress, and extreme distress, and association with someone we hate, dissociation with someone we love, and not getting what we want. So these are all suffering. In brief, the five aggregate or clinging suffering. So in this regard, there is a very beautiful poem composed by late Venerable Mahasi Searo. So Searo added that poem. It's a very beautifully composed. It's very good for the Burmese meditator who understand Burmese. So the suffering to explain today is related to the sorrow, limitation, and mental and physical distress. So this is the first section. The first section includes sorrow, limitation, and mental and physical distress. So sorrow in Pali, soka. What is the source of the sorrow? There are five kinds of the losses. So when we encounter five kinds of loss, we feel sorrowful. They are mentioned in Pali texts, such as the loss of our relatives or beloved, or loss of our wealth, or loss of our health, and a loss of our the morality, and a loss of our right view. So altogether, there are five kinds of the loss. So when we encounter one of them, we will feel definitely sorrowful. So regarding the sorrow and the limitation, Searo had explained to some extent when he expounded the benefits of Satipatthana meditation in the beginning of the retreat. So among the five kinds of loss, the first three are quite evident, quite understandable. Loss of relatives or beloved, loss of wealth, and a loss of the health. But regarding the loss of morality, moral conduct, it's quite important to understand, because for lay people, they can, even though they may not keep the precept pure, but the moment they become decisive or they determine to keep the pure precept, they are regarded to have the pure precept or pure morality. So it won't be that big deal for lay people. But for nuns and monks, it's very important to keep pure precept. If they lose pure precept, it will be greatly sorrowful for them. And at the last one, the loss of right view. Here, right view refers to the karma and karmic results. When we do good things, we have good results. When we do bad things, we have bad results. That's the natural law. We call the karmic law, karma law. So if we lose this kind of right view, and then that's the loss of right view. And then we don't believe karma, and then we don't accept the life after death or lives before or after or this life. And then most likely to commit evil deeds rather than good things. So there is no life after death. We have no moral commitment. And then we are most likely to do things for our own sake, whether wholesome or unwholesome, justic or unjustic. We do whatever we think beneficial to us. Mostly we are most likely to do something evil. So as a result, we have to pay heavy price for the misdeed we have ever committed. So during the lifetime, the evil results may not be evident right away, but on the last moment, we definitely encounter one of the three kinds of the signs as explained in previous days. And then we will feel definitely distressed and depressed. So, and then we suffer the loss of the right view. So even the would-be Buddha, the Buddha to be, also in a one life lost his this kind of right view. So he, as a ascetic, as a hermit, he follow ascetic practices. He believe ascetic practices can lead to liberation, so he followed it. He followed them, like the torturing his body, or maybe like even the cold weather, in the cold season, he live a naked life, or when the weather is so hot, he spend his day under the sun or among the fires and so. So it is said some ascetic practices that encourage people to eat the bullshit. So it's a really horrible ascetic practices. As a would-be Buddha, he wrongly followed those practices. But on his deathbed, as a result of wrong view, so he saw the very woeful sign in his mind's eyes. And then, as a would-be Buddha, he was smart and quite mindful. So he realized the practices he followed are wrong because he encountered such a woeful signs. So he right away decided, right on the spot, I definitely give up these kind of the wrong practices. And then in this way he free from the woeful rebirth. And then there comes on the another kinds of the dukkha suffering, that is the mental and physical distress and the extreme distress. So there are many things that make us unhappy, and then we suffer the mental distress. And then sometimes that kind of the sorrow or mental distress become extremely tense, extremely increase in degree. And then we are really, really depressed. That kind of suffering is mostly related to loss of our beloved and so on. So this kind of extreme mental distress is called in Pali Upayasa Dukkha. So in the beginning of Satipatthana Sutra, the Buddha describes these benefits of the mindfulness as to purification of the mind or to overcome sorrow and limitation. So back to the story of Subhyama, the Sierra expounded, Sierra has been expounded in the last Dhamma talks. There are new Kama yogis. So Sierra repeated a little bit about the Subhyama Deva, Subhyama deity. He's an angel with 1,000 deities, female deities. And one day he was enjoying sensual pleasure in a heavenly garden. And at that moment, 500 of his female angel disappear and silent and quiet. So when he reviewed what happened to them, and then he found out they were dead and reborn in a woeful state. And then he checked himself and the remaining 500, and he found out they are all also going to be reborn in a the same woeful state. So he was extremely scared and frightened. So he came down to the Buddha and asked the method and how to overcome such a sorrow and a fear. Then the Buddha told him that first he had to practice the tapa mi bhane energy. He had to put great effort in the practice. Through the sense restraint, by controlling his faculties, and then he developed the mega phala enlightenment. In this way, the Buddha said he will be totally freed from all sort of sorrow and limitation and worry, anxiety. So Subhyama Deva, he realized the Buddha's teaching. And then he became Sotapanna, the first stage enlightener, on that very spot. So as a Sotapanna, he was no longer liable to be reborn in a woeful state. So in this way, he totally free from mental and physical distress. So another two kinds of suffering is and the dissociation with the someone we hate, or departing from someone we hate, and associating with the someone, or associating with the someone we hate, and separation from someone we love. So these two kinds of suffering are quite obvious, so everybody understand. So as you know, when we live with someone we hate, oh, it's really horrible, it's suffering. So sometimes our neighbor Maybe they are not very considerate, and then we feel suffer. For example, TMC, Thakada Center, is very quiet. But if the neighbor make noise, oh, we feel suffer. So if we live with someone we hate or inconsiderate, it's also suffering. And then if we are separate from someone we love, like the we want to live with our parents and our children and brother and sisters together. But for some reason, we are separate from one another, then we feel a lot of suffering. So the best and the companion will be the Dhamma. Here, a yogi during this retreat, so she was quite old, but she persistently practiced meditation intensively in a walker. And then Cheryl asked her how she lived at home. She said she lived alone. She even said she didn't have any pet, cat or dog. You know, he has no attachment to anything. It's very good. Sierra appreciates her lifestyle. So she has only Dhamma companion. So Dhamma companion is the most faithful companion to us. If we have such a faithful Dhamma companion, we don't need to be sorrowful when we separate from our beloved, or there will be no problem to leave someone we hate. So Dhamma companion is the best companion. So if we have Dhamma companion, we can live a blissful life. And another suffering is the not getting, not obtaining what we want. There are many things we want. When we don't get what we want, we feel painful. It's also obviously suffering. So all living beings, whoever were born, and nobody want to get old. Nobody want to get died. Nobody on earth want to feel sorrowful and encounter limitation. Everybody want to be happy. But our wish won't be fulfilled. Everybody getting older and older. And one day we get sick, and in the end, we all die. And before we die, we encounter sorrow and limitation and so on. So everybody want to live youthful forever. Nobody want to get old. Everybody want to be healthy and strong forever. But everybody getting weaker and one day sick and die. So our wish actually cannot be fulfilled. That's great suffering. So in essence, five aggregates or clinging are simply suffering, solid suffering. So clinging, in Pali we call upadana. We attach to things and the people, or we cling to the thing and the people in two ways. In terms of the attachment, and in terms of the illusion. So attachment, we cling or attach to the people in terms of the craving, is called tanupadana, tana upadana. And then in terms of clinging, we attach to things and people, that is called Deity Upadana, Deity Upadana. So, in brief, or in essence, these mental and physical phenomena, which are classified into five aggregates or clinging, are solid suffering. So, Upadana, clinging, is of two kinds. It's illusion and attachment. So here, illusion means ego illusion. We have illusory sense of I, everlasting, or Idane I, Idane soul. That's the illusion. So we get attached to things in terms of this illusory sense of I. And in terms of attachment, we are under illusion that this belongs to me, that belongs to me, this is mine, and this body is mine, this head is mine, this hand and feet are mine. So that's simply attachment and a craving. So in this way, there are two kinds of the upadana, illusion, and attachment. So when we, as a yogi, observe the present phenomena, we will discern mind and body as they really are. There are mental and physical phenomena, no body, no I, everlasting. They are changing every moment. We can experience we can discern physical phenomena in terms of the hardness and so on, earth element or water element and fire, temperature element and so on. Beyond illusory, beyond the conceptual form and shape. That's how we discern mental and physical phenomena. At that moment, at this moment, we overcome illusory sense of I or illusory sense of mind. And there are some yogi, they reported Searo during the interview, they lose the sense of the form or shape of their hand and foot and their abdomen. Instead, they only experience four fundamental elements characterized by the tension, tightness, so on. So, and other mental phenomena, they no longer see any conceptual form or shape of the body or the hand or abdomen and so on. So at that moment, they are regarded to be free from illusory sense of I, or illusory sense of mind, or the attachment. So what we can be attached to is of five kinds, that we call five aggregates. Five aggregates are mental and physical phenomena we can get attached to as I or mind. They are classified into five kinds, rupa, physical phenomena, or the aggregate of rupa, aggregate of physical phenomena, or aggregate of feeling, aggregate of perception, aggregate of mental formation, aggregate of consciousness. So altogether, we have five kinds of the aggregates. We normally get attached to them as I, or as mind. So if we observe the present phenomena as they really are, so we will discern their true nature, and then we can overcome illusion and attachment to them. So these five aggregates are called the aggregate of clinging, because they are what we can attached to as our mind, I or mind. So practically, we can discern the mental and physical phenomena if we note the the mind and the matter arising from the five senses. When we see something or someone, and what we see is we call Rupa Ramana, and then there's a visible phenomena. And then the eyes or eye sensitivity, certain kinds of physical phenomena in the eye, is called both are physical phenomena. And then there is a seeing consciousness. We see something or someone. That seeing consciousness is a mind or mental phenomena. So if we observe seeing, we can discern one of these mental or physical phenomena. So in the same way, when we hear the sound and the ear sensitivity in our ear, physical phenomena, and hearing consciousness is a mental phenomena. In the same way, when we get smell, and the smell itself, and the nose sensitivity in our nose, physical phenomena, the awareness or perception of the smell is a mental phenomena. And when we eat, the taste and the sensitive phenomena in on our tongue, physical phenomena, the perception of taste is the mental phenomena. In the same way, when we touch something, what we touched, and physical sensation, physical phenomena, and perception, or the recognition, or the touch is a mental phenomena. And in the same way, what is known to us, or what we think about. In this case, this what we think about is mostly physical phenomena, and the knowing mind is a mental phenomena. So we can discern mental and physical phenomena when we observe the moment the obvious. And sensation or feeling are also an object for us to attach to. There are three kinds of feeling in general, pleasant, unpleasant, and a neutral feeling. So unless we are aware of them, and then we will get attached to them, or we will take them as I or mine in terms of the attachment and illusion. So here, question is, we get attached to pleasant feeling or neutral feeling. That makes sense. But how can it be possible for us to get attached to the unpleasant feeling, dukkha? Nobody on earth like the unpleasant feeling or pain. So is it impossible for us to attach to unpleasant feeling? But in the dependent origination, also the Buddha mentioned virana, paccaya, and tanha. So depending on feeling, there arises attachment. Then how can it be possible for attachment to arise depending on pain, dukkha, suffering? So in this regard, Searo recalled his experience during one of his intensive retreat at Mahasi Center in Burma. So during the retreat, he happened to analyze the feeling in the same way. So how can it be possible for us to attach to suffering, unpleasant sensation? Although it is possible, of course, to attach to the pleasant feeling. So he asked a question to the guiding teachers, Searo Ji, and Sayadaw Ji gave him a very good simile. It is like the enjoying the chili. So the spicy food, like the chili. So there are many people who love chili. So when we eat chili, we suffer a lot of spice. But we still want to eat chili. We still enjoy the taste of the chili. So in the same way, we can get attached to the unpleasant sensation of pain because we believe it is I. It is mine. I'm in pain. Pain is me. So in this way, it's possible for us to get attached to the unpleasant sensation. And regarding the remaining three aggregate perception, aggregate of perception, aggregate of mental formation, aggregate of consciousness. If we observe the present phenomena, or whatever object is obvious, and then we can discern mental and physical phenomena. We can become aware of them as they really are, without the illusion and attachment. In this way, we can realize the true nature of the suffering. So far, Sayadaw has explained the suffering. The suffering of the birth, old age, and sorrow, limitation, mental and physical distress, separation from beloved, and association with the hated, and the not getting what we want, and in essence, the five aggregate of clinging as suffering. So practically, a yogi here can realize what suffering really means. So as a noble people or enlightened people, they see mental and physical phenomena being tortured, impermanence, all the time. They are all arising and passing away on their own accord, not in our way or our wish. So they see mental and physical phenomena as suffering and non-self. So by practicing Vipassana meditation, observing mental and physical phenomena, we yogi here also can realize, as the noble people realize. But in conclusion, Sayadaw wish, may all of you be able to understand this mind and body to be suffering, and practice intensively until you all of us be liberated the sangha of suffering. That's all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.